Accession number 10046, reel number 2.
Mr. Roger, reel 2.
As I say, we boarded the Bonaventure at Gurrock and later sailed with the convoy, as far as I knew, to Gibraltar. During this convoy, we were attacked by a surface raider, and the Bonaventure and another cruiser gave chase to this surface raider, and the other cruiser was badly hit, but we still carried on, but eventually gave up the chase. On the way back to the convoy, we came across a small supply ship, and the cruiser of the Bonaventure fired two torpedoes at her and missed her to sink it after the crew had left the boat, and eventually ended up firing 5.25s into her to sink her. The crew came aboard, and the chaps of the our troop had to guard these prisoners, and a chappie who was a sergeant said myself over the one of the sections, Sergeant Denobrica, and I.
Sergeant who?
Denobrica. Had the rotten job of killing the two dogs that were on board this small ship, and this we did by holding them over the side and firing them a .45 and killing them over the side of the cruiser. We eventually rejoined the convoy, arrived in Gibraltar, and during the return to the convoy, all the men ended up by carrying shells and ammunition, restoring the ammunition to the various places that had been fired during the contact with the enemy. We arrived in Gib Christmas morning, and the skipper on board apologised that all we'd had for Christmas dinner was corn dog sandwiches. Then we disembarked and were in Gibraltar for about 3 weeks. I think it was 3 to 4 weeks. I may be a little bit awry with my dates. Then we boarded a destroyer called the Jaguar, and then sailed in convoy to Malta. We were with us was the Ark Royal, which was part of the, one was a Med Fleet and the other was the, I'm not exactly sure what it was called, but the Ark Royal was with us. And then we changed over and the Illustrious took over as the aircraft carrier with the rest of the Med Fleet. And we were attacked off Pantelleria by Stuka bombers and Junkers, 87s, 88s. And the Illustrious was badly hit, went on fire and was going round in circles. And her aircraft couldn't land, and quite a number of them were going into the sea. One of our chaps rescued one of the airmen who came down by parachute, and he just lifted him straight into the boat, which was fantastic. Eventually, after much bombing and all these attacks, we arrived in Malta, where we went to Manuel Island, to a place called Lazaretto. And this was a submarine base, and it was called HMS Talbot. the skipper of the place was Captain Simpson, and he was known in the submarine fleet as Shrimp Simpson, and he was a great captain. We stayed on Talbot for quite some time, and we were allowed to set up Bren guns and various types of guns all around the base. And when the bombers used to come in to dive bomb Malta, we used to be able to have a smack back at them, and which gave you a great deal of satisfaction.
Did you see much of the conditions under which the Maltese were living?
Oh yes. As soon as the air raid sirens went, the Maltese went straight into the air raid shelters, which were dug into the rocks, and they really had it rough. It was very bad, the bombing was in Malta.
What was the civilian food supply like?
Well, our supply had gone down, that we had no bread during all the period of time that we were there. Towards the end of the time we were there, there was no bread, and convoy could get into Malta, and they eventually brought stuff in on submarines. They were even bringing petrol in on submarines, which we unloaded at Antarctica, wasn't it? And unloaded powdered milk, all sorts of stuff. But there was very little food. I mean, our rations were cut down to, I think we had bread. Some days we had no bread at all on the base. During this time, various chappers of us were picked to go on with one officer and one other rank onto the various submarines and do landings or check up on the trains that were running on in Tripolitania, Sicily, and in Italy. And I went on the first test run, really. It was just a test run with the submarine, and I went on board HMS Upright with Lieutenant Schofield, and we'd only gone on this for a dry run, which was to give us some idea of what it was to be out for 18 days on a submarine. And during this period of being out for 18 days, we sank a tanker, and the skipper, I forget the skipper's name, but they said we brought them good luck. He sank this tanker, and we were allowed to look through the periscope at the tanker sinking. And also, whilst on this trip, he sank a cruiser, which was escorted by destroyers. Of course, we got one devil of a depth charge
attack,
time in, time out, and we were lying on the bottom for ages and ages, and we didn't surface until midnight. And by this time, the air in the submarine was getting very, very, very thin. You know.
Do you know whether it was an Italian or a German cruiser?
It was an Italian cruiser that he sank.
Did you ever discover its name?
No, I didn't. I never did. Nobody did. And after that, we returned to the base. That was my first trip on a submarine for 18 days. We used to do watches. We were allowed to steer the submarine while she was diving in this. And it was quite interesting. Back at Malta, the job that we had originally gone out to do, which was to blow up a viaduct in northern Italy, was to be done by the parachute regiment, or these paratroops who came to Lazaretto, to HMS Talbot. Very few people spoke to them. I mean, I had a few words with one of the sergeants, but there was very little information going. But they were attacking, they were going to drop on a viaduct in northern Italy, and they were to be picked up by a submarine called the Triumph. But we never did pick them up because they never came to the rendezvous. Several schemes were done from Malta. Various chaps went out. Lieutenant Schofield took a party and landed, but he was taken prisoner. And an old friend of mine, Stan Taylor, he couldn't land with his foul boat. He came back to the submarine and he managed to escape and come back to the submarine and came back and rejoined us in Malta. Then there was another one of our boats, a chap from the Beds and Hearts. His name was Charlie Parker. And he was on board the Upholder.
On board the what?
A submarine called the Upholder. This was commanded by Lieutenant Commander Wanklin, VC. And his job was to pick some fellow up and take him to a submarine, to the Upholder, and then to a submarine called the Unbeaten, because the Unbeaten was coming back to Blighty, and he was to return to the Upholder. This he did, and on that patrol the Upholder was sunk, and all hands were lost on the Upholder. Anyway, after this period of time, Lieutenant Broome and myself went on a job just near Naples. And here again, we were supposed to pick up people. And this was on a submarine called P-35, its name was the Sokol. It was manned by Polish submariners. And we got up to Naples, and the skipper found that the minefield was so bad that we couldn't go in to pick these people up.
Do you know what base this was approximately?
It was towards the end of our stay in Malta. Well, it was before that. It was round about the March, I think, of 42. My days may be a bit haywire now. But previous to this, Lieutenant Broome, Dickie Broome, as we call him, and I had practiced towing round one of the things that the bombs have to drop in the, you know, it was a big ground dinghy affair, and we had practiced towing this round Camino, one of the other islands between Malta and Gozo. But we found that with a two-man foul boat, it was very, very hard work to do this in any current whatsoever. And this idea was given up, because this was the method with which we were going to rescue these chaps north of Naples. Anyway, we left Malta in 42, and we came back to Gibraltar on a submarine called a Parthian. Sorry, I must apologise. I think I did mention early on that we unloaded submarines with stuff and that in Malta. But we went aboard a party on a submarine called a party, and we came back to Gibraltar. On approaching Gibraltar, the submarine broke down. We couldn't go forward, and we went in stern first, and the skipper on the bridge with his cap on back to front. And it shows the type of chap that you deal with when you meet these officers, these submariners, the great men. I met a chief telegraphist who was telegraphist on the HMS Upright, and Cox and Soapy Watson, who were great friends of mine. And Soapy Watson came home before I did and went to see my mother and father to let them know I was okay. When we're at Jib, we were a few days, and then we boarded a cruiser called the Kenya, HMS Kenya, and we lived on the upper deck where they kept the seaplanes. This is where we slept and lived, and this brought us back, this cruiser brought us back to Scapa Flow. And when we went into Scapa Flow, unbeknownst to us, this was, all the boats in Scapa started sounding the hooters and what have you, and we didn't realise what was wrong until we tied up. When we tied up, we were taken off in small boats to Thurso. And when we came round the cruiser, there was such a hole in the front of her, and it was cemented up, but you could have driven at least 2 to 3 double-decker buses through the hole that was in the front of the cruiser. And that's how we came back to Blighty in 42. And we went up from Thurso, we went straight up to Achnacarry.
One night.
And when they saw us at Achnacarry, our skipper said we wished to rejoin 2 Commando. So from Achnacarry, we went straight down to Ayr and joined the Commando in Ayr. Well, going back to the Mediterranean and Malta and submarines, I have this thing which I forgot to mention. One of my friends, or one of my lance corporals, Alan Blackwell, landed in North Africa with 2 agents, and he was unable to make his way back to the submarine in his foul boat because it smashed up on going in. And he remained in North Africa with them, and I think he did quite a lot of work with them. From what I gather, he was awarded the DCM.
When would that have been about?
That was in 42.
January 42. But that didn't involve you personally?
Didn't involve me personally, no. He's just one of my lance corporals.
Right, can we pick up the story with you getting back to Ayr, and can you tell me how your service developed from that?
Well, we rejoined the Commando in Ayr and had 2 weeks leave, and then we went back to Ayr and continued training, and we used to do quite a lot of hard training. Mondays we used to travel out to Inverary and stay out there for 3 or 4 days doing various schemes. One day a week we used to do a 20-mile route march, running and walking. Then Saturday mornings, before we broke off on Saturday mornings, we used to run round Ayr for 1 hour all the way around the front at Ayr and round in a huge square. Anyway, it came where we were going to go on leave. The whole commando were going on leave. And we got aboard the train. We got as far as Dumfries. Then the train was shunted off and put on the other end and took us back to Ayr. And from there, we went out to Gibraltar. This was in 1943. April the 13th, 1943, we sailed from Gurrock and we're going to Gibraltar. This was on the Donata Castle. And after an uneventful trip, we steamed into Gibraltar. We were then stationed in Alameda Barracks, in Nissen Huts, and we had quite a good time in Gib, because there was plenty of rock climbing. An assault course was built by the Independent Company, and we used to go over this at least once or twice per week, and we kept in good fettle because there was plenty of cricket and sport was played on Gibraltar. And then we were visited by Admiral Lord Mountbatten. Lord Louis came and gave us a speech and told us what was going to happen. Told us that Sea Commando and two Marine Commandos left something for us to do in Sicily. And we're still firmly believing that this was just a cloak to hide our intended assault. We went off on the Prince Charles and Prince Brutus to Siracusa in Sicily. There, we were destined to stay in nut groves, almond nut groves, and everybody developed
dysentery.
And various diseases and what have you. And after a pretty poor time of it, decided was when the 8th Army was held up at Catania, it was decided that the commando would land behind Catania, and we landed at a place called Syracuse, Scaletta. And below that, it was at Scaletta. We landed at Scaletta. And the Navy, unfortunately, put us down on the wrong beach. Unfortunately, or should we say fortunately, because the other beach was badly mined, and we landed on a beach that wasn't mined, and we made our way up the beach, under the road, and our skipper then, who was Larry Taylor, was my section commander, always used to say, whenever we land, make for the heights, because then, he said, you can command your position. And this we did. Unfortunately, the main road that we went under, the Germans were retreating down this main road, and we let some of the vehicles go, but the troop further up the road opened fire on them. And they hit a vehicle which was carrying explosives, ammunition. And it was like Guy Fawkes night. There's stuff flying everywhere, left, right and centre. Anyway, as we moved up to the heights, we heard movement in front of us, and the challenge for this was halt, black, and the reply was cock, black cock. And we challenged whoever it was in front of us, and we got no answer, and we threw the challenge out again, and Larry Taylor shouted open fire, and we fired, and we killed one of our own officers, actually.
Do you know his name?
I do, but I don't know whether... Just stop it a minute. Prefer not to mention the officer's name at the present moment. Then...
Was this on Sicily or southern Italy?
Sicily. This was Sicily. Then we came down onto the main road and we went after the Germans right into Messina. And we were the first British troops in Messina. The Germans... Sorry?
What kind of reception did you get there?
Well... Not too good, because the Germans were firing across the straits into Messina, and the people weren't too bothered. But luckily, we found a brewery where there was plenty of beer, and everybody had a good drink, and it was quite a bonsanti. Then after that, we were withdrawn from Messina and went back to Catania.
What kind of casualties had you had in Sicily?
Very few in Sicily. Very few in Sicily. Very few. Previous to landing in Scaletta, a senior officer on board the ship gave us a pep talk, and he said... That nobody need to fear, be worried about small arms fire, because much small arms is fired and nobody's hit. He said, shrapnel kills more than small arms fire. And of course, this wasn't very nice going in to Scaletta. But luckily enough, we survived and carried on to Messina.
So his remark really had the reverse effect to what he'd intended, did it?
Well, I think so.
On morale?
On morale, because particularly when we got to Messina and found this beer, everybody's morale was well and truly in top form. As I say, we went back to Catania, and we were at Catania for quite some time, and... We did some training for a while, and then we went to Salerno. This happened, we joined the American Fifth Army. We were attached to the American Fifth Army, and we used to have the 5-in-1 ration. And it was a fantastic change of food for us, because there was tinned bacon, all sorts of stuff, meatballs and spaghetti. Not everybody liked these. I mean, I think we would rather have had just an ordinary good potato or two. But otherwise, it wasn't too bad.